Good morning, and welcome to this edition of Dressing for Success with your host, Lanny Larson. No, I'm just kidding. This is not Dressing for Success, nor is it Lanny Larson. It's Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and I'm glad to actually be here with you live this morning. I am pumped up because of what's going on at my car dealership. We're having a really good month, but we weren't 1 week ago. It has turned around. Now explain that to me. Explain how business could be getting better when things all around us seem to be getting worse. Well, a lot of people don't listen to the news, so they're just in hog heaven. However, when they go to the gas pump, they see things they don't like. Maybe even at the grocery store, especially if they're trying to buy baby formula, which my heart goes out to those people. Hopefully that will get resolved with Warp Speed. I just can't imagine. We had two of our three had to have some type of special formula. I asked my wife, I said, what would you do right now if you couldn't find formula? She said, I don't know. You know, I don't know whether you go milk a goat or a rabbit. You know, I don't know. But it is, I realize, folks, this is no laughing matter, and I'm not laughing. One of the things that I'm very excited about is that Volkswagen is finally coming out with a modern bus. You know, I've been seeing pictures of this thing. Okay, you know what the Volkswagen bus looks like. I had one. I had a 66 model with a split window. It was an 11-window bus. You know, the more windows, the more money. That's the way it works when it comes to VW buses, especially the vintage ones. The Mac Daddy, I think, is called the 23-window bus. And yes, in fact, it does have 23 windows, including a massive sunroof. And then it has windows over top of the side windows. And then it has windows in the corner of the, what would you call that, the C-pillar, the very back where the hatch is. There's windows in the corner there. That's the one that's worth the most money. But if you fast forward to today, and this particular bus is, it looks good. It looks cool. I mean, I really think Volkswagen has got something here, and it's going to be all electric. That's the only thing I don't like. No, I'm not an electric fan. That sounds weird. No, I am not an electric fan. I'm not an electric oscillating fan. That's not what I meant. I am not a fan of electric cars, let's just say that. Not because I don't think they're great, because they are. They are great. They drive fine. They accelerate very well. They are quiet. They do not pollute the environment. Now, the electrical generation does, you know, unless it's a hydroelectric or wind or solar or something like that, then those don't necessarily pollute, except for the stuff that they had to make to, you know, be able to produce that electricity. Everything pollutes. Let's just get that straight. But anyway, back to the electric vehicle. I'm more of an internal combustion engine guy, and they have figured out ways to make them much more efficient and pollute less. And the Biden administration has figured out, say, let's just jack up gas prices as high as we possibly can by our policies. They're not actually doing it. It's just their policies that are doing it. And then that will make people say, well, I'm about to go buy an electric car. They just haven't thought about the fact that there's no place to get your electric car charged except at your home. There's no charging infrastructure. Electric cars are extremely expensive. The battery technology, while it's advanced significantly, it still takes a lot of stuff that we don't have to make the batteries. Who has all of that stuff? China. Yes, they are the number one producer of the rare earth minerals that are required to make electric vehicles work and batteries and stuff. And they are I think they refine about 75% of all of those minerals into a form that is usable in a battery. So we are beholden to the Chinese in that regard. So that's one of the reasons I'm not a fan. I think we've got the cart before the horse. But this Volkswagen bus looks good. You know, we're going to be selling electric vehicles. A lot of people are going to be buying them. But it is not going to happen at the pace that they are talking about. That's all you hear about is electric vehicles. But I'm going to let you hear about some different things today. I went to cardiac rehab for the first time. That was in Johnson City at Ballad Health's cardiac rehab. Pretty impressed with the facility. Had a hard time finding it. They said it was beside Franklin Woods. Well, Franklin Woods Hospital. I was on the wrong side of Franklin Woods. I was on the, I guess, southeastern side of Franklin Woods, and it was on the northwestern side of Franklin Woods. But I eventually found it because I stopped hunting and started looking at the actual address. And once I used the coordinates, it took me right there. But anyway, those people are wonderful. They evaluated me and they said, okay, Mr. Lawson, first thing we notice is that your heart rate is too low. You know, and I've been saying that I have been a little lightheaded and a little dizzy when I stand up, and I've noticed that my resting heart rate that day was 48. They said, that's a little low. So we talked to the doctor, and they're going to take me off one of my meds so that I can have a good time at cardiac rehab. I've got 36 visits I've got to do, 3 days a week. And so I'm going to be a good boy. I'm going to change my diet, and I already have done that. And I'm going to exercise more. I've already lost 22 pounds, so, well, that's since January. So I'm working at this. But, you know, I've got to take care of this vessel. This human vessel that I'm residing in, just like you have to take care of your car. How's that for a transition? Yes, there are certain things that we have to do to maintain ourselves and the equipment that we use, you know, our homes, whatever, you know, whatever equipment you're using, your lawnmower, your car. The maintenance of those things is critically important to a lot of different things, resale value, and just usability. You know, you just can't imagine the number of people that come into this dealership for service that are just ignoring regular maintenance. One of the things that they ignore the most is simply having enough air in the tires. And we have this new scanner. When you drive into Gateway, we have a Cyclops. Well, no, it'd be more like a Medusa that shoots out laser beams, and it measures the alignment of your vehicle. And if it's out of alignment, we know it instantly. And there's a lot of folks, approximately 30% of you are driving around, based on our numbers, 30% of you are driving around with your front end out of alignment, which means that you are not getting the gas mileage that you should be getting. You are actually wearing out your tires prematurely. And a lot of that, though, has to do with air pressure. Of the cars that we see that come through our service department, total number of vehicles, approximately 60% of the vehicles the tires are underinflated, not overinflated, underinflated. You will lose 2 pounds of pressure per month unless you have nitrogen, pure nitrogen in your tires, and then you'll lose 1 pound. And some cars lose more than that if they have a leaky valve stem or a little nail, you know, in the tread somewhere. So these are all important things that we have to pay attention to, and I'm here to help you do it. So I'm going to take my first break, be back here in just a second. We're going to talk about some economic outlooks, what's going on in the car industry, and I'll inform you here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. So what is going on as far as the economic outlook? Well, I know the stock market has taken a plunge of late. And that's not real good for those of you who are still in the market. You know, if you've converted all of your assets, your financial assets into just put them in a bank and earn no interest, at least it hasn't gone down. I was talking to a guy the other day. He keeps about 60 grand in his safe. I said, well, you're not earning any interest, but at least it's not going anywhere. You know, like if your house catches on fire, is it protected? He said, yeah, up to 1,200 degrees for like 2 hours. Well, I said hopefully that'll do it. But anyway, what's going on in the industry? Well, if you've shopped for new cars lately, you've seen that inventories are still down. Guess what? They're going to stay down through probably most of 2023. That's not great news. It's good news in certain respects, and I'll tell you that. Anyway, inventory levels are 59% below what they were in March of 2021, and they weren't great then. In raw numbers, the supply of unsold new vehicles in March of 2022 was 1.5 million fewer than the stock of a year ago. And, you know, that's despite the increase in pricing. Consumers are still buying, probably still working through the COVID stimulus, according to the experts, that resulted in some families receiving as much as $14,000. So I guess that money is burning a hole in their pockets. But most automakers have realized huge profits, especially in 2021, and they say that they are committed to keeping inventories low, regardless of whether the chips become available. Now, why would they do that? Well, because if there's demand is greater than the supply, then it basically keeps them from having to incentivize folks to buy vehicles. In other words, you're not going to see any big rebates. Rebates in the last year have averaged about $1,000. The previous years, you would see rebates averaging in the $3,500 to $4,500 range. I remember when we had like up to $10,000 on an F-150. You know, if somebody had some private offers that had been mailed to them, plus the incentives that we have here at the dealership, it was, I think, the highest we got to was about $8,000 plus the private offers. You know, $10,000 is a lot off. Not only are folks not getting that, but they're not getting the discounts that they were getting because of the low supply. And it's true, all the industry wants to talk about are electric vehicles. It seems as if the whole world believes that everyone will be driving EVs in just a few years. But as I've talked about on this show, there are serious barriers that have to be overcome for that to become a reality. There's a lot more chips go into an electric vehicle than into an internal combustion vehicle, number one. Number two, the rare earths that are required in order to make batteries. And then you got the restrictions that have been caused. You know, just because we're doing fine in this country, well, not fine, but pretty good as far as COVID is concerned, China's not. And, you know, they've tried to develop their own drugs to fight COVID. And apparently they don't work as good as the ones from Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson and Johnson. So they're having a lot of shutdowns, their factories and so forth, and that's creating problems. NADA, National Auto Dealers Association, is anticipating new vehicle sales of about 15.4 million in 2022. Now, that's an increase of 3.25% over last year. But folks, remember, just a few short years ago, we were in the 18.5 million range. Basically, however, this first quarter of 2022 has been the slowest in over 10 years. Sales fell more than 16%, so we have a lot to make up in the last part of this year. Now, we are seeing greater shipments of Ford products. Our Nissan products have slowed down some. It's just weird how this ebbs and flows. However, this year will be, now this is the unusual thing about the car business right now, a whole lot fewer units, but a whole lot more profit. Matter of fact, it will be the most profitable year in history for the automotive sector, according to J.D. Powers, despite the problems with the supplies. At the New York International Auto Show, J.D. Powers stated, I guess somebody for them got up and made a speech, they said consumers aren't hiccuping. They have big savings. Their trade-ins are worth a lot, and interest rates are low. The only question is how long will it last? The supply chain problems are not going away anytime soon, according to J.D. Power, which predicted that supply constraints will result in auto sales suffering from a COVID hangover through mid-decade. What's mid-decade? Well, 2025. Never dreamed that all of this would happen this way. It's also interesting to look at the top 25 best-selling cars, trucks, and SUVs last year, reported by Car and Driver. The top-selling vehicle was the Ford F-150. No surprise there. Number two was the Ram, then Chevy Silverado, Toyota RAV4, Honda CR-V, Toyota Camry, Nissan Rogue, Jeep Grand Cherokee, Toyota Highlander, and the Honda Civic. That's pretty impressive. No big changes as far as that's concerned. The industry's inability to meet demand is unprecedented. The shortage of microchips and other components has forced auto manufacturers to rethink their process of getting products to the market. So what are they thinking about doing? Well, this new model is going to involve much lower inventories. So this 5.5-acre lot that I have out here is going to look empty for a long time, except for used vehicles. That's the plan. Keep inventories low, match demand to supply, and get people to order cars and pick them up. Now, this will be fine if they can build a car in a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks. This having to wait 6 months, this isn't going to last. But even when things return to normal, factories are humming. Even when things were great, the shortest period of time they could build a car in was six to eight weeks. That's what I've been telling people since I got in the car business. How long will it take to get my car? 6 to 8 weeks. Okay. And sometimes it would take five, sometimes it would take 12, depending on constraints. But, you know, if they can get that down to where you come in or you order something online, you don't even come into the dealership. You order it online and you know that you're going to have it in 3 weeks, that's okay, isn't it? Or a month? Could you wait that long? I know a lot of people want it right now. But you could come in and get your vehicle appraised. If you want to come into the dealership and see our beautiful showroom and meet our fine people at Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan, then you can come in and do that. We can interact. We can look at your trade. We can nail down the numbers and have your car in 3 weeks, maybe four. That would be acceptable to most people. I can kind of hear you saying that it would. A lot of people say, no, I want it now. Well, we'll have some inventory. I mean, it just won't be extensive. You know, and I'm all for that. You know, people have complained over the years about having to negotiate and, you know, some people paying window sticker for cars and some people buying them for invoice just because they can negotiate well. Is that fair? Well, a lot of people said, no, that's not fair. Other people would say, well, yeah, it's fair because I'm a good negotiator. I'm going to get a better deal. But on the whole, I think people would rather not have to negotiate. I think they'd rather just, you know, the price is the price. Now, the variable is always going to be the trade value. That's always going to be a factor. You know, what is somebody going to pay you for your trade? And then you have these dealers out there say, we'll pay you up to $8,000 over book value for your trade. Well, heck, I'll pay you up to $25,000 over book value for your trade. That sounds better, doesn't it? Still doesn't mean I have to do it. I said up to. So, you know, that kind of advertising is very deceptive. People go, man, I can get $8,000 over book value. No, you can't. Go in there and just try and see what happens. But still, that's going to be the variable. And people are going to have to get used to that. Now, when you look at transaction prices, this is what freaks me out. The average transaction price for a new car in the U.S., according to Kelley Blue Book, was, now this is new cars, okay, $45,927 in March of 2022. That's marking the third straight month of declining prices. The peak may have been reached in December of 2021 when the average new car shopper paid $47,077 for a car. Now, according to this, basically, EVs, hybrids, minivans, some sub-compact cars are the ones that have increased the most. Prices for SUVs have increased the least, but still, 13 to 18% increase. That sounds like a big increase since 2019, and it is. Anyway, so these are some of the things that are going on in the industry. We'll pick this up here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. You know, there's a lot to unpack here. One of the things that I found interesting was that, okay, so you're out buying a car and, you know, you hear about, well, I'm going to go to Auto Nation, you know, because they're big. They own a bunch of car dealerships. They're a publicly traded company and, you know, they're big. they're all over the place. And then, you know, the Penske Auto Group and Asbury Auto Group, Lithia, Penske. You may not have heard of these. Some of them keep the actual dealer's name, or they'll call it, like, I don't know, Knoxville Chevrolet. You know, so you really don't know who owns it. A lot of these dealerships, folks, now are owned by big, large dealer groups. There are still people like me who are, you know, single point operations. I own Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan. That's it. I used to be involved in five different dealerships. Now I'm not, and I'm very thankful for that. But so who can you buy a car from the cheapest? Well, it just so happens that the dealer groups make, the large dealer groups make the most money on the consumers. Yes. In 2021, the average profit just in finance for the large dealer groups was $24.49. That's about $1,000 more than the average for independently owned dealerships. On the front end of a deal, the average, that would be on the car itself, the average dealership making $3,600, where independently owned dealerships make about $1,000 less. So you tell me where the best deals are. Well, yes, that's correct. They are not at the big dealer groups. When it comes to credit, it's interesting that the average amount financed for new vehicles in 2021 was $39,721. The average new car payment, get this, $644 a month. The average lease payment was $531. So $644 is the average car payment. Of course, that includes, well, I guess that, you know, that takes into account trade-ins and everything. That's the average monthly payment. And the average term on a loan is creeping up. It was about 58 months about 2 years ago. Now it's 69.7 months, but that's no surprise because cars are more expensive and people have to finance more in order to be able to afford to drive them. So that's somewhat of an outlook on what's going on in the industry. If you have any questions that I can help you with as far as your car, your ownership experience, your service, buying, selling, trading, servicing, whatever, if you wreck your car and want to know where to get it fixed, I'm the guy to call. I'm independent on this radio show. I do have a bias, an admitted bias towards my brands, but I try to keep that at bay as much as possible so that you can have confidence in me. Call me, Lenny Lawson, 423-552-2020. And barring any unforeseen mishaps, I will see you tomorrow.